Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
A living composition of God and man, a building, the ultimate consummation of the Bible, of God's purpose, and our destiny. This is the portrait painted by the divine Word of God, and it's the portrait that we have been delighted to bring to you during these past 67 messages from the life study of Revelation. Joining us today for our 68th and final program is Ron Kangas. Ron, you were with us for the first Revelation life study, and I think it's wonderfully fitting that you could be here for the conclusion.
Thank you for giving me this privilege and this opportunity.
Ron, we've seen that of all the visions in Revelation, none is more crucial than the vision of God's building. And I'd like to just get right to Witness Lee's opening word as he gave the final message of this life study of Revelation, and then we'll be back to have some fellowship. Here's Witness Lee.
If you go through the whole Bible from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, eventually you could see, after passing through so many dispensations, so many generations, so many centuries, in eternity future, God will be there. But he will be there no more just by himself. He will be there still triune, the very God, the Redeemer, the Lamb, that's the Son. Then you have the flowing river. That is the symbol of the Spirit. The triune God will be still there. But by that time, the triune God will be, number one, the center of something. And number two, the saturation of something. And this something of which the triune God is both the center and the saturation, we know is the New Jerusalem. In eternity past, there was only God by himself. But in eternity future, there will be God still triune in the center of the New Jerusalem, saturating the whole city. This is a sign signifying that after all God's completions through the centuries, God will be mingled and enlarged with his redeemed people. And this people eventually is just a building. So eventually what you have a kind of building built with divinity and humanity. It will be a kind of a mutual habitation in the whole universe of both God and man. This is the revelation of the Holy Bible in a transparent way.
Well, Ron, certainly the Lord had his choice of items that he would conclude the entire divine revelation with. But what he has chosen to conclude with is this tremendous picture of a building. It's really significant, isn't it?
Significant is the starting point for our appreciation. This is an astounding, amazing, wonderful consummation of the divine revelation. To show the ultimate goal of God's eternal purpose is to have this city, and this city is called the Lamb's wife. It's a corporate person. This city is called both the tabernacle in which God dwells and the temple in which we dwell. It's a mutual dwelling place. As a city, it represents the kingdom of God. But the controlling thought is that this is a corporate entity, the corporate expression of the triune God in glory, which is what building is. The Bible ends with the picture of a city signifying the kingdom, with the redeeming God on the throne whence flows the rivers of water of life. And this is the ultimate issue of God's eternal purpose worked out in one age after another. This city is really the consummation of the Father's house in John 14. The Father's house is a building, a spiritual temple, the mutual dwelling place of the triune God and the believers. And just as in the Old Testament, we have the temple, the house, the dwelling place of God, and the city signifying the kingdom of God, we advance from John 14 through Revelation 21 and 22. We have a city which is a mutual dwelling place. It's a glorious corporate expression of the triune God. It is the building produced by the mingling of God and man to produce a corporate glorious expression of the triune God in Christ with all the matured, perfected, glorified believers. What a wonderful scene this is.
Well, Ron, we're covering a lot of ground in this final program on Revelation, and it was set up for us by seeing what God is after and what consummates both the book of Revelation and the entire Bible. And of course, that is this corporate building and mutual habitation of God and man, the New Jerusalem. Now, to see how this is worked out, we turn to a very important item, and that is the lampstand. The lampstand first appears in Exodus as one of the furnishings in the tabernacle, but there is a progressive development of the lampstand throughout the Bible because it reappears in a more mysterious light in Zechariah and finally takes on a very prominent place in Revelation. So let's join Witness Lee as he gets into this development and progression of the lampstand and how it relates to God's building.
In the tabernacle, there is a crucial thing. Right in the middle part, the holy place, there is the lampstand shining. The lampstand standing there has seven lamps. What does all this indicate? By Exodus itself, you can't understand. Nearly to the last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah, the lampstand comes again with the seven lamps. But in this short section, in Zechariah, you have, number one, the seven eyes on his tongue. And you have, number two, the seven eyes being the seven eyes of Jehovah, the Lord, sent to the whole earth. You could see clearly that the seven lamps of the lampstand are the seven eyes of Jehovah, the Lord. And also, these seven eyes are the seven eyes of the stone on which God's engraving was. Now, you got more development. Here you have the seven lamps developed into the seven eyes, number one. And number two, you have the lampstand developed into a stone and also into Jehovah, the Lord. But still, we couldn't understand adequately. So we have to go on. When you get into Matthew, and into John, and into Acts, you can see the stone. The concept of the stone is there. Then we come to Revelation. Now, in Revelation here, chapters 4 and 5, we have more development. Still, seven lamps. Now the seven lamps are the seven burning lamps before the throne of God. Not just for enlightening, but for what? For carrying out God's administrative government. More development. And then, these two chapters, 4 or 5 of Revelation, tells us that these seven lambs before the throne of God, carrying out God's government, are the seven eyes of the Lamb. Not only the seven eyes of the Lord, not only the seven eyes of the stone, but the seven eyes of the Lamb.
Well, Ron, I hope we haven't lost a good number of our listeners, because there's a lot happening here. The lampstand appears in Zechariah 4, but just before that, we have the stone with seven eyes in Zechariah chapter 3. And then in 4, Zechariah tells us that these seven eyes are the eyes of Jehovah running to and fro on the whole earth. And the lampstand and the stone with seven eyes appear again in Revelation. And now we have the full development. The lampstand, which is Christ in Revelation, with its seven lamps, are the seven eyes of Jehovah in Zechariah, and eventually become the seven spirits in Revelation. And the stone in Zechariah 3 is Christ in Revelation. A lot to keep track of, Ron, so help us to put these items together and to realize how they relate to one another.
The revelation in the Scriptures is progressive. And then a related point is that revelation is the full development of all the different lines of revelation throughout the Scriptures from Genesis until Revelation. So when we have the lampstand in Exodus typifying Christ, we have the first mention of this. Then we go to Zechariah, we see a development. There's not only a lampstand with seven lamps, there's a stone on which there are seven eyes. And then we have the seven eyes becoming the seven lamps and the seven eyes of Jehovah. Then we go to Revelation, where we have the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which surely correspond to the seven lamps on the lampstand. Then in Revelation 5:6, we have the Lamb with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent forth into all the earth. In addition, at the beginning of Revelation chapter 3, the Lord identifies himself as the one who has the seven spirits. So we need to put all these together, the stone, the lampstand, the Lamb, the seven eyes, the seven lamps, and the seven spirits. These are all aspects of one reality. And the consummation of the stone with seven eyes, the consummation of the lampstand, the consummation of the seven eyes of the Lord are seen in Revelation chapters 3, 4, and 5. And they are all related to God's ultimate goal to infuse himself into his chosen and redeemed people, to mingle himself with them, to make himself one with them, to build himself into them and to build them into him, the goal being God's eternal building, the New Jerusalem, a corporate person, a mutual dwelling place, the glorious corporate expression of the triune God in redeemed, regenerated, transformed, glorified humanity, who are now in the oneness of the triune God himself. It's mysterious, and the experience is very real, very genuine, and can be exceedingly enlightening, penetrating, consuming, and supplying.
Well, Ron, thank you. That was wonderful to see these items connected. We come now to our final portion of the final message of this incredible life study. And we have a short but meaningful, and I would say appropriate word, and it connects two great passages from Revelation. First, chapter 4, verse 5 says, "And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And then chapter 22, verse 1, "And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street." Here's Witness Lee for our final portion.
And eventually what? These seven spirits of God are the seven lamps before the throne of God. And these seven eventually become the one river of life proceeding out of the throne. In chapter 4, you do have the seven lamps before the throne. But in chapter 22, the last chapter of this book, before the throne, or out of the throne, what is there? The seven lamps became one river. And I can testify, and you can confirm also, I believe, in your experiences, that firstly, the seven spirits of God are today the seven burning lamps, whom we would receive the burning. These seven spirits become what? One flow.
Amen.
You read your revelation. Firstly, the seven spirits of God are the seven lamps burning before God's administrative throne. And eventually, in God's building, the seven spirits of God became the one river of water of life, proceeding not from only the administrative throne, but the supplying throne of God. So here you have the building. The more we are in the flow of life, then the more we got built. This is the way to get ourselves built. Now you can have the building. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, Ron, we have these two great points in Revelation that converged in this last section. God's administrative judgment, seen in chapter 4 as the seven spirits before the throne, becoming the flowing river of water of life proceeding out from the throne in chapter 22. And this is the consummation of the entire Bible. I think we can fairly easily understand how, by being under God's shining judgment, we will then be ushered into more of the flowing of God's life. But help us to see how this whole sequence or process is related to and eventually produces God's building, the New Jerusalem.
We have pointed out that the term building, typified by the tabernacle, the temple in the Old Testament, realized as Christ himself and the church as the expression of Christ. This is the goal. The building is the goal. In order for this building to be produced, we, the believers, need two kinds of experiences, I would say, running in a parallel way. On the one hand, because we are in the process of growing in life, of being saved in life, and transformed and sanctified in life, we need to realize that there are still many elements in our being that are contrary to God, incompatible with Him, and unfit for His building, His corporate expression. Therefore, we need to experience the seven burning lamps, seven lamps of fire, burning before the throne, carrying out God's administration in the way of enlightening and then judging, consuming, burning all these negative elements in our being. So we first meet the fire. Significantly, in Daniel chapter 7, we have a vision of the throne and the Son of Man receiving the kingdom. And out from the throne there are rivers of fire. So the fire must come first to judge us according to God's nature. Then experientially, the Spirit, who is God, the consuming fire, then becomes in our experience the Spirit as the rivers of water of life flowing in the building, through the building, and out from the building. So the sequence is this. The Lord and His administration, based upon Christ's redemption and the Lord's exaltation in ascension and His lordship in the universe, He is now leading us through the processes that will result in building corporate expression. For this, we need fire. We need the seven lamps of fire burning. Even we will eventually need the seven eyes of fire, not only burning, but also transfusing, transmitting. But the more the Spirit as the fire deals with and eliminates the things in our being contrary to God, the more we spontaneously experience the Spirit as the river of water of life. And when we are experiencing the river of water of life, we will eventually realize we're now in the building because that's where the river is flowing. It's flowing in the city, out from the throne. And if we are now experiencing this river of water of life proceeding out from the throne of God and of the Lamb, then we must, to some degree, because we're still growing, to some degree, we are now actually becoming part of God's building, part of His corporate expression. We may try to summarize this way: the seven lamps of fire are the Spirit processing us for God's building. The river of water of life is God, the Spirit, flowing as life in God's building. This is the sequence. For us believers, the consummation is not fire, not seven lamps of fire, not a river of fire as in Daniel 7. The consummation for us is the triune God in Christ as the Spirit flowing as rivers of water of life in the eternal, glorious building of God, His ultimate, consummate, corporate expression.
Well, Ron, when we began this life study, you were here, and I remember you saying, this is not going to be a study of the book of Revelation like any that our listeners have ever tackled before. We're not going to be looking at frogs and locusts and beasts and so many external things, but we will be brought to a view of God and His economy, of Christ and His ultimate consummation, a building with man that is incomparable and indescribable. Ron, I believe that sitting here today at the conclusion, your word 68 programs ago was prophetic and 100% accurate. It has been a privilege that I will always treasure to have been able to sit with you and the other brothers message after message, getting into these incredible things and doing our best each time to bring it to our listeners in a way that will usher them to Christ. I surely want to thank you for all the times you've been with us. You've been a big part of this life study. Do you have a brief final thought for us today?
Yes, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Of course, in Revelation there are locusts, there are beasts, there are frogs, there's the enemies contrary to God. All of these things are there. And they have intrigued, and I would say preoccupied, many readers. Our emphasis in this life study, at least to a considerable degree, matches the Lord's own emphasis. It's the revelation of a person, of the wonderful Christ, who is the center of the divine administration to carry out God's economy. This Christ is the Son of Man walking amidst of the seven lampstands, the seven churches. This Christ is the Lamb on the throne with the seven eyes. This Christ is the other angel that will come to possess the earth. This Christ is the bridegroom for whom the bride is preparing herself. This Christ is the lamp through whom God as light shines. This Christ is our life, our light, our life supply. He's the tree of life to us. He's the hidden manna. He's the feast to us. He is a robe of bright linen, showing that He is the living one in us. Surely we should focus first on this wonderful person, and then take note of what He says toward the end of chapter 22. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify these things for the churches, to the churches. The book of Revelation was written to the seven churches, to genuine local churches that are local expressions of the universal body of Christ. And the Lord wants to make known to the churches that Christ is the centrality and the universality of God's economy, that Christ is life and everything to us, and that the goal of this book is not ultimately judgment, it's not finally the lake of fire, it is a new heaven and the new earth with the new Jerusalem as the center. That city is the sign of God's building, his corporate expression. This is the goal.
Thank you for your fellowship.
You're welcome.
And we're out of time. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.